Praise the Lord. I was reading the other day, that in the latter half of the 18th century, there was a small man with a huge voice who was the master of the stage. His name was Edwin Thomas Booth. At the age of 15, he debuted as Richard III, and from then he became a well-known Shakespearean actor. He performed Hamlet in New York City for 100 consecutive nights. The British critics in London sang his praises. Edwin had two brothers who were also actors. One was John and the other one was Junius. In 1963, all three brothers performed Julius Caesar. The fact that the brother John portrayed the role of Brutus, Caesar's assassin, was an ironic twist that foreshadowed what would have come 2 years later. You see, in 1865, John became a real-life assassin. On an April evening, he crept into the rear box at Ford's Theatre and fired a bullet into the head of Abraham Lincoln. After that night, Edwin was never the same. Shame from his brother's crime drove him to an early retirement. He would likely never have come back to the stage if it weren't for a twist of fate in a New Jersey train station. Edwin was awaiting his train when a well-dressed young man, pushed by the swell of the crowd, lost his footing and fell between the platform and a moving train. With little regard for his own personal well-being, Edwin locked his leg around a rail, grabbed the man, and pulled him to safety. Amidst sighs of relief, the young man recognized the famous Edwin Booth. But Edwin didn't recognize the young man. It was only a week later when he received a letter from the White House that he learned that he had saved the life of Robert Todd Lincoln, the child of an American hero, Abraham Lincoln. Edwin Booth carried this letter in his jacket up to the day he died. Isn't it ironic? Edwin and John Booth. One killed the president, one saved the president's son. Same father, same mother, same profession, same passion, yet one chooses to give death and the other one chose to give life. How could this be? Well, friends, it is all about the choices that were made. The choices that were made. It was a difference between life and death. This morning, friends, I want us to think about the choice that each of us must make. How we choose will determine the course of your life. Even more importantly, the Bible clearly portrays that the choice you make will determine your eternal destiny. In a life or death matter, and the difference is where we end up is determined by the choice we make concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You see, the cross is a symbol of the Christian faith. We decorated the churches with it. In our bulletin, our logo has three crosses on it. Many wear a cross in their jewelry. The cross is so prominent in daily life, even sports people. They make the sign of the cross when they're going to kick a penalty or whatever, right? but we don't really pay attention to it. And in many cases, we've even forgotten what it represents. And we sometimes fail to realize the pain and the agony and the cruelty of the cross where Jesus died. Presbyterian minister George MacLeod said, Jesus was crucified not in a cathedral between two candles, but on the cross between two thieves. The cross was a means of torture, humiliation, and death. Today, when men are executed in the United States of America, the common method is lethal injection. But in times past, they faced the firing squad, the electric chair, and the hangman's noose. Yet none of these methods, friends, of execution come even close to as the horror of crucifixion. On that day, there were three crosses on Calvary's Hill. Three men were sentenced to death by the Roman government, and I want us to spend some time this morning to examine the three crosses at Calvary's Hill. Number one, on the Calvary's Hill, there was what I call the cross of rebellion. The cross of rebellion, and here's why. Luke 23:39. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." To blaspheme means to utter reproaches, rebuke, to scoff, and to use rude and disrespectful language. It wasn't enough that Jesus had been convicted of a crime he didn't commit. It wasn't enough that he was beaten within an inch of his life. It wasn't enough that his clothes were divided among the soldiers and that he was nailed to the wooden cross. This thief still hurled insults at Jesus. This man was hurting and he knew that death was imminent. I want us to notice some things about this particular thief. There is no admission of his guilt. He is not interested in admitting that he was wrong. He is sorry. He is not sorry, friends, that he offended God, that he sinned against God. No, he was sorry that he got caught. He had worldly sorrow. And the Bible tells us the end result of worldly sorrow. It's not on the screen. But in 2 Corinthians 7:10, the sorrow of this world produces death. James 1:15 says, sin when it is finished brings forth death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And here is a man who is reaping what he has sown and he doesn't like it. All his life he had sowed to his flesh. And the Bible tells us that the result of this in Galatians 6:8, for he that sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He says something very interesting to Jesus, but we noticed the doubt and the sarcasm when he said, if by chance you are the Christ, save yourself and us. Which means, if you are who you say you are, save yourself and us. Friends, this man did not understand that at that exact moment, Jesus was doing just that. Jesus proclaimed on many occasions that this is why he came to the earth. When he was talking to the tax collector Zacchaeus, he said in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. When he predicted his death on the cross, he said in John 12:27, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose came I to this hour. When standing before Pontius Pilate, he said in John 18, verse 37, Pilate therefore said to him, Are you the king then? And Jesus answered, You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should be a witness to the truth. Friends, now as Jesus hangs between heaven and earth, fulfilling God's redemption plan for mankind, this thief uses his energy to mock him and to blaspheme and to insult him. The man had every opportunity to get saved, but he was focused on the temporary instead of the eternal. He is a picture of a man who has what's in it for me, the mindset. Save yourself and me. This man was not concerned with anything other than himself, his problems and his pain. As I mentioned, friends, this man could have been saved, but he rejected Christ. He is a picture of someone who is dying without hope. He is described as a criminal, as a villain, as an evildoer, and Matthew called him a thief. He was being crucified because of his evil deeds. He faced the earthly consequences for his sin. And before the night was there, he would face eternal consequences for his sin. This man was guilty and deserved to die, and the Roman government was not going to give him a pardon. But Jesus would have. Since then, friends, ever since then, this rebellious thief breathed his last breath, and he has been eternally separated from God, along with all other skeptics. But the only difference now, that as you and I speak, he's a believer, but it's too late. Do you agree with that? The moment he stepped into eternity, he realized that Jesus is Lord and Savior. But it was too late. Many people, friends, listen, we are very careful because we love people and we want, like God, everyone to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But many people maintain the same stiff-necked attitude today. They say, nobody tells me what to do. I make my own choices. I call my own shots. I determine my own direction. I determine my own destiny. Their God is their body and their money and their popularity and their pleasure. And something they are good enough to be in their own right. And they don't need help from Jesus Christ. To all who think and live that way, listen friends, not me. To all who think and live that way, Jesus said in John 8 verse 24, Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Jesus didn't say, well, maybe. He said, if you don't believe in me, you will die in your sins. In Luke 13 verse 3, Jesus says, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Jesus came to pay the debt he didn't owe, because we owed the debt we couldn't pay. Jesus was there because of this man's sin. He was there on the cross because of my sin and on your, or because of your sin. And if you have never been saved, friends, if you have never made a choice, you never made the decision to follow the Lord as Savior, friends, you will also spend eternity away from God. You don't have to, because Jesus died so that you could live forever. As we continue to survey Calvary's Hill, that day we find another cross. On Calvary's Hill, there was what I call the cross of repentance. Luke, the 23-hour text, says, but the other thief, answering, rebuked him, the first thief. Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. The other criminal flanked on Jesus' other side said these words. Really, there isn't any reason to believe that this fellow that had just spoken was better than the one who spoke first. In fact, listen to this. In Matthew's gospel record, some extra detail of this man's story is found. Matthew 27, 41 to 44. Likewise, the chief priest also, listen, the chief priest also, mocking with the scribes and the elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Now listen to this statement. Even the thieves. Did you see the plural? Even the thieves who were crucified with him reviled. I'm just joking. Reviled him with the same thing. To revile means to utter abusive insults, to attack verbally, to criticize. Do you see that, friends? Thieves. It seems that in the beginning, this man was against Jesus as well. But something must have happened to cause him to change his mind about Jesus. It has been suggested that perhaps Jesus' words of forgiveness to those who were crucifying, where Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. This man came to believe that Jesus is who he said he was. And friends, when the first criminal hurled insults Jesus' way, he responded, don't you fear God, man? Hey, we are guilty. We deserve what we are getting, but Jesus has done nothing. And while the first criminal hung on the cross of rebellion, this man changed his mind, and his cross might be regarded as the cross of repentance. While the first criminal died in his sin, the second criminal died to his sin. Based on Jesus' response to this man, the dark past of this criminal was forgiven when Jesus said in our text as we go on, 42 and 43, then he said to Jesus, Lord, I told you what Lord means, owner, Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today, not one day, today you will be with me in paradise. This is one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible. It illustrates the simplicity of salvation, friends. This man did not have a degree in theology. He didn't respond to an altar call and came down the aisle. He didn't have an opportunity to clean up his life first. He didn't have time to work his way into heaven. He couldn't even if he had the opportunity. He didn't have to offer a long and detailed prayer of salvation. He didn't have someone saying, "Say after me." He simply trusted. Did you see that? He simply trusted in Jesus. And he cried out to him to save him, friends. This man still paid the price for his earthly sins. Notice, he said, we received the due reward of our deeds. He still suffered. He still experienced physical death. But he did so with the promise of eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
He said, be this as it may, man. But I have eternal life with the Lord. He began with an earthly perspective. But before he died, he had an eternal perspective. His life has changed because of what Jesus was doing right next to him, friends. Friends, your life can be changed because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross that day. But before you experience this, I know I'm speaking to the choir, but listen. Before you experience this, you must come to Jesus just like the man did and see Jesus for who he is. And you've got to cry out to him to save you. Because if you will, he will.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
If you will, he will.
Yes.
But he'll never grab you by the scruff of your neck and say, put you up against the water and say, what are you going to say now, buddy? No. If you make a choice to cry out to the Lord, he will save you. I know it's easy to get confused about what it is that gives us an opportunity for a relationship with Jesus. Sometimes we give in to the thought that if only we do good works. Somebody said to me, you know, Keith, that fellow who died down the road, he was such a wonderful person. I know he didn't go to church. I know he didn't believe. He said he's an atheist, but he was a good man. Therefore, he's in heaven. Do you see that mistake people make? Other times we hope that our family connections. You know, Grandpa was a pastor. You know, I have got contacts.
Yeah.
That will get me into heaven, friends. Listen. The criminal on the cross of repentance reminds us that it's not who we are or what we've been like that gets us into heaven. So I'll say that very plainly. We are given passage into heaven based on how we are related to Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Amen.
Do you see that? I can't say it any other way. No other standard is applied. Simply trust in Jesus. Reject him and ignore him, and the wrath of God remains on you. It all boils down to that, friends. On that hill, that day, there was a cross of rebellion and a cross of repentance. And most importantly, on Calvary's hill, there was what I call the cross of redemption.
Amen.
The cross of redemption. So, Luke 23, 44 to 46. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness all over the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last breath. Look how John put it in John 19 verse 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. When Jesus said, it is finished, friends, he used a word that meant it is paid in full. Paid in full. It is finished, it's ended, it's complete, it's concluded, it's paid in full. What is finished? God's plan of redemption. God's plan of redemption. Redemption is Christ's atonement. It's Christ's payment for human sin. Redeem means to buy back. To buy back. And Jesus buys back from the slave market of sin. The Bible tells us concerning Jesus' redeeming work on the cross in Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3 verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. The law was given by God to Moses to show you and I that we are sinners. That we, like those thieves, all deserve the sentence of death. Not just physical death, but more importantly, spiritual death. Separation from God. We are told how to be redeemed. Are you ready to know how to be redeemed? Colossians 1 verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Listen, you have redemption through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 tells us what actually redeems us. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious, listen, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Friends, you were delivered from your sins by the precious blood of Jesus. Before I close, I want us to look at the great price that Jesus paid for our redemption. I'm going to read what happened to Jesus, what he went through to redeem us. Even before the cross, Jesus had already endured more pain than a normal man could bear. He was scourged, which was enough to kill most men. It was commonly believed that the instrument used for beating Jesus was the cat of nine tails. The cat of nine tails was a short whip with metal and stones and bone tied into its cords. They stripped him of his clothes and put on a scarlet robe. They fabricated a crown of thorns and jammed this crown onto his head. Then they blasphemingly bowed before him and cried, Hail, King of the Jews. They spat on him and plucked his beard. Then they forced him to carry a 150-pound cross to the execution site. Once at Calvary, the cross was put on the ground and Jesus was thrown onto the cross. Then they nailed him to the cross. They took that cross and lifted it up and dropped it into the hole, which no doubt caused his flesh to tear. It would have been impossible to take a breath. Jesus was extremely weak and dehydrated. He was losing sufficient amount of blood. He suffered for several hours, and after all things were complete, he died. Why? To redeem us, friends. He did all that so that we could be redeemed. He is God's plan of redemption fulfilled. Jesus paid the price for your sins. He came, friends. So that you could live. He came to die so that you can live. But you have a choice to make. Will you be like the man on the cross of rebellion and turn away from the Redeemer? Will you be like the man on the cross of repentance and trust Jesus to save you from your sins? Just like these men, you are guilty. Just like these men, you will die. And just like these men, you have to make a choice. John 3, verse 18 and 19. He who believes in him, it's called repentance, is not condemned. But he who does not believe, called rebellion, is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Friends, redemption can be yours today because of the cruel cross on Calvary's hill. The question is, how are you going to respond? How are you going to choose? Will you die in sin, or will you die to sin? Only you can decide that, and your decision determines your destiny. Destiny is not a matter of chance, it's a matter of choice. Your choice. Let me tell you about the Canadian Rockies. In the Canadian Rockies, there's a sign, I saw it. The Great Divide. Did you see that? It is the source of two great river systems. One flows west to the Pacific, and the other flows east to the Atlantic. It is said that two raindrops can fall, and one can go in that direction, and the other one can go in the other direction. Friends, there is a hillside some 2,000 years ago. Two men hung on either side of the love of God. One rejected God's gift while the other received it, and they both ended up in opposite directions. Each one of us here today are faced with the same decision these men faced. We either turn from Jesus, or we turn to Jesus. And the last verse is Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Listen, in case you're wondering. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Amen. Life has many choices, friends. Eternity has but two. What will your choice be? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, as Helen prayed earlier, thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you sent your only begotten Son, because you so love the world. And you said, whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. For you sent your Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We thank you, Father, that you made him who had no sin to become sin for us, so that we could become the righteousness of God through him. But it all comes down, Lord, to making a choice. As you look up across this lovely congregation, you say, Keith, many have made a choice. And I say, thank you, Lord. But Father, if there is someone here who is struggling, I pray you help them, Lord, that on this Good Friday of 2023, they would make a choice to put their faith and trust in Jesus. Help, Lord. Bless us, Lord. This Easter weekend, that we will, Lord, remember what you have done. And Lord, we will be thankful for what you have done. Bless us. We're going to meet again on Sunday, Lord. We're going to worship you. Thank you so much. Amen.
Amen.
Ask my bride, Helen, to come and help me sing this last hymn Sharon will play for.